ladies and gentlemen. For the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Matt Time Radio.
Yes, sir. Matt Time Radio, broadcasting live from downtown LA. My name is Craig. I'm taking over duties for Rich today. He's out on assignment somewhere. And I also got my buddy Jaime in the studio. Say what's up, Jaime.
Hey, ¿qué pasa, raza?
I didn't hear you, dude. All right, man. Today's guest, man, we got a guest in the studio. Well known in the MMA community. Joe Plenty of Skills Camacho. Is that what they call you, Joe?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Welcome. Let me get my hand clapping going on over here. All right, that's enough. Unless you want the people yelling, I got those too. Can you hear me all right? No? Hold on for a second. I have some technical difficulties. All right, we're good?
Yeah, I got it.
You got me? Can you hear me now, Joe? Hey, dude, welcome to the studio, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, hey, listen, I know you because we used to roll back in the day, but there's one thing I do know about you is you got probably the best hair in the business. Like one of those dudes that your hairline stays the same, man, so that's good. What's the secret?
Yeah, it's KMS gel.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about something about yourself, man. How'd you get started? Where are you from?
I'm originally from East Los Angeles. I grew up in East LA, and I moved out to Ontario throughout the years. I was living out there for a while, and back in 1993 when the UFC first debuted on pay-per-view, I was just so impressed with the Royce Gracie in action, you know, just smashing everybody and tapping everybody out. So one day I just, you know, picked up a Yellow Pages, and I just looked for a jiu-jitsu studio in the area, and I found a school in Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, way out there, yeah.
So
did you wrestle in high school or anything?
No. I went to Garfield High, so we didn't have a wrestling program, you know, just budget cuts, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's true, though, but...
Yeah.
Well, when I wrestled in high school, we used to have to drive out to the Valley to wrestle people, so...
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, inner city. Soccer was big, and football.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had a really good football team in high school, so, yeah.
That's right. What high school did you go to?
I went to Garfield High.
Garfield, you know, all right.
Bulldogs,
Yeah, wasn't that, who came out of that school? Didn't they make a movie over there?
Yes, it's Jaime Escalante. They did the movie Stand and Deliver.
Was it Bonafide, man? Is that how it went down over there?
Well, I mean, that was dated back in the 70s, oh, the way they dated it.
Yeah, like, never mind. All right, so you went out there, started training. So you started training on the Inland Empire.
Yes. Actually, I got into grappling through my cousin, Charlie Valencia. He's the one that got me into the whole wrestling world, you know, grappling. He was doing judo and wrestling. He's
a great wrestler. Yeah,
an awesome wrestler. You know, he went to Fresno State. So he got me into grappling, period. So that's when I opened up the Yellow Pages and I said, man, I need to learn this stuff.
Little family affair.
Yeah.
And so you started training out there and you started training like just every martial art? You started like jiu-jitsu?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I was in a taekwondo, and then, you know, my dad wanted me to try out boxing, you know, old school Latino father, you know, he was pro boxing, you know, so, but I was a big fan of Bruce Lee growing up, so, you know, I've always liked the fast kicks and, you know, aerial moves and stuff. So,
yeah. So that's what you did? You didn't want to take kung fu, karate,
no,
or taekwondo or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. I just did taekwondo, but, you know, I was into, you know, kung fu theater and all those Sunday afternoon movies, you know, watching Bruce Lee in action, you know?
Yeah. Walk around with your...
kicking doors open all the time, you know?
Got nunchucks at the house or what?
Yeah, I used to beat myself up. I used to beat myself up with those, yeah.
Those are pretty funny, man. I mean, back in the day, like, people don't realize, but back in the day, that's what everybody was, right?
Yeah,
like,
we just cut the broomstick in half and, you know, saw it, put a little chain, you know, electrical tape.
Yeah, I'm shaking his head. Yeah,
man.
I don't.
It was either nunchucks or bean shooters, man. Yeah.
I would just go to the indoor swap meets when they were coming up and buy them in there.
Oh, those are the rubber ninja ones, though.
Yeah, that's all right. You're getting real ninja stars in that place, too, right? Yeah, remember?
Right. Yeah. You have to file them yourself, make them nice and sharp.
That's right, because we were all dull.
Dull.
You're throwing them in the backyard.
They just bounce off your back.
We made all our own stuff, man.
Yeah. I mean, wood and broomsticks and chain. My mom would hit me with the broomstick.
The chancla right there, too.
The chancla. My mom used to hit me with the extension cords, dude.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Hardcore. Wow. All right, man. So you got started doing jiu-jitsu, and then obviously you did that for a while because you're a black belt now, but how'd you get into the fight game? Like, how'd you transition from training to get an actual fight? Because I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, how I think you're like one of the few guys who's actually a pioneer of the sport, because, you know, I remember you back in the day from Saboba Casino that we always seem to go back to, but how'd you pick up your first fight?
Well, I was training in the studio up in Rancho Cucamonga under Pedro Carvalho, and he was well-known in that area in the Inland Empire, and he brought out a lot of the well-known jiu-jitsu students that we know today, you know, like Romy Aram and Batiste Mansour from Millennium Jiu-Jitsu and so forth. And, well, he asked me if I wanted to fight in a local show. And it was, at the time, it was at the Fairplex complex in Pomona.
Yeah, okay.
At the playgrounds.
Yeah.
So I fought this mixed martial arts. At the time, it wasn't called mixed martial arts. It was just either extreme fighting or no holds barred,
yeah,
you know.
NHB.
Yeah, NHB.
Yeah, I always think about that from that Joe Riggs tattoo, right? Remember?
Right, yeah. So I fought in the show and I fought three fights. And it's funny, though, because although at the time I was a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, I won all three fights by knockout.
But those three fights in the same day? Like the same?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, tournament style. Yeah.
Back in the day, that's what it was about. You know, back in the day, it was about, you know, tournament style fighting.
Yeah.
And I fought three fights and I had three knockouts and some promoter, Terry Treblecock, he's the promoter of King of the Cage. He got wind of it and asked Pedro to ask me if I wanted to fight.
Okay.
And it was back in 98 and that's when it started. You know, I fought in my first, that was like my first no holds barred fight, like a real fight.
Yeah.
In front of a studio, I'm sorry, in front of cameras and, you know.
At
King of the Cage.
Okay.
But, you know, at the time it was called Boss Rutan's King of the Cage.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they tried to use Boss's name, you know, to draw a crowd.
Okay. Yeah.
And we fought on a tennis court.
Where?
Javi Vasquez, he fought on that show.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of well-known names fought on that show.
Yeah, a lot of guys come out. We used to see Joe Stevenson.
I fought Joe twice. I fought, actually, for the King of the Cage's first debut show, I fought Joe Stevenson. And at the time, because of rules or sanctioning rules, I don't know, but it originally was an MMA fight, a no holds barred fight, but then the last minute they changed the rules to an open hand strike, kind of like pancration. So that's what it was. It ended up being a pancration fight.
Have you done pancration before or no?
I've done a few, yeah.
That's gotta be weird if you don't train for that, right? You
go looping swings and slap fighting, you know, but you're actually palming them with your open palm and you can actually really hurt someone really bad, cut them a lot worse than your closed fist.
With your palm, huh? Little pimp slap game. That's what it seems like.
Give
me my money. That's cool. Make good money back in the day for those fights, man?
No money at all. Just for bragging rights.
It was, right?
Representation of our gym. Some of us just, you know, got free meals at Black Angus or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I mean, $50.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind of crazy when you think about it because, like, now there's so much time and effort. And we always talk about, like, how much money you spend just on diet alone if you got to cut weight and stuff. But I don't know. Did you cut weight?
Not too much. I've always been either 10 pounds away from the actual weight class.
Not too bad. You try to stay in shape and stuff throughout.
Yeah, I train a lot, so I lose weight naturally just by sweating, you know?
Yeah.
And I have a fast metabolism, so that also helps.
Yeah. Great genetics for hair too, man.
Yeah, I have a lot of hair, yes.
That's good, though. I know Beltran's probably jealous.
Yeah. Mike Beltran, yeah, I went to school with him back in, class of 91.
Did he have that beard?
No, he didn't have the beard, but he had the the Hulk Hogan hairdo. He had long blonde hair. Like, he looked like Hulkamania.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. That explains it. Because he came in here and did, like, probably the best Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know.
Impression, right?
Yeah, it was good.
And that's what he used to do in high school. He used to be like, Hulkamania, you know. It's funny.
Yeah.
Even for Halloween, he wore the red Hulkamania shirt with the gold headband, and he was ripping his shirt.
Where's those pictures on Facebook?
Well, they're right. No, they're on the yearbook, you know. So you see some pictures. It's funny.
That is pretty funny.
Hey, some things don't change, man.
Hey, dude, we gotta find those and get them on a shirt.
That would be hilarious.
That'd be funny, right? Get your yearbook out, dude, when you get home. He's gonna be pissed. That would be funny. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I know Beltran, he was in here telling a story how, like, he came into the academy and I beat him up.
Yeah, I was there the first day he came in.
Yeah. Cool dude, though.
Little Noah smashed him. Yeah.
Little Noah was like seven.
Right. Yeah, man, that was funny. Yeah.
So, I mean, how many fights you got? I mean, I don't need to get into your record, but how many fights you got total?
I have about 35 fights on Sherdog, but there's a few on Sherdog that are missing. But about, you know, 35.
About 35?
So people can look me up.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of wins, a lot of losses. You win some, you lose some, you know. But there's a lot of fights that I had prior to Sherdog's existence. So a lot of those fights are missing.
Oh, okay.
You know, so.
What's the worst injury you've gotten fighting?
Just a broken hand. Oh, actually, the worst injury I got was a broken orbit bone.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, Joe Boxer. I fought him at King of the Cage, and he was fighting for my belt. And he threw a left hook and just dropped me on my ass. And I've never been dropped before. And he threw a solid left hook and just cracked my orbit, you know.
How did that feel, man? I was wondering how they repair that, if I guess.
Well, luckily, I didn't need any surgery. It was just a small crack.
Okay.
It didn't affect my eye or anything. No, there was no, you know, I didn't have a detached retina or any floaters floating by.
Yeah.
But yeah, luckily I didn't have any surgery. But
yeah, that seems to be like one of the scariest ones for your face, though, because I know like you look at like Bob Sapp, you know.
Yeah.
And I think his one side of his face looks so drastically different because you got a cracked orbital.
Yeah, because as you can see, you see the indentation.
Yeah, it looks weird, right? And right. I just like, how did they fix that? You know,
some angles you'll see my orbit. You know, you can see my face and you see a little indentation on the side of my nose here.
Oh, so you had a pretty bad crack then.
It was bad. You know, it was in a place where there's no calcium buildup, so the doctor said that there's nothing you can do. Just let it be. You know.
Yeah. So back in the day, what did you do for insurance for that? Did you?
I mean, I had insurance because at the time I was working for a company. I'm a graphic designer.
Okay.
And but fortunately, King of the Cage had insurance. So
they did.
They took care of the bills.
Oh, okay.
Some of them anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of nice though, because I mean those can add up pretty quick.
Right. Yeah.
So I know I get injured and I go to the doctor and the other day the doctor calls me and says, hey, we just want to make sure you're not injured at work.
He's showing up with black eyes. So I used to show up to work.
Like, yeah. Because I had to get like a MRI for my ankle.
Oh.
You know? It's you know, I guess they don't want to do them because they're so expensive or whatever.
Right, right.
And then I had I hurt my shoulder before that and my wrist before that. And you know, my knee, you know how it is.
Right, right.
It's
right.
Always something,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, but I remember going to work, you know, when I was... I'd show up, so it would be like Fight Club. Every day I'd have a new black eye or, you know, something broken, you know?
Yeah, not as cool back then as it is now, though, right?
Yeah, man. It's just crazy. It's crazy, man. It's like, you think back and I'm like, man, I went through all that damage to put MMA where it is today, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, man. I mean, people don't realize. I mean, you look at the people that fight now and sometimes you get, you know, free ride to the top if you know the right people or whatnot and...
Yeah, well, see, unfortunately for me, I didn't get a chance to quote unquote pad my record, you know, because at the time we were just fighting for bragging rights.
Right, right. You fight, hey, there's a fight, let's take it. Right,
right. Right. So, like, I didn't get to choose and pick and choose my fights. You know, there's some of the fighters that they would enter these big shows just padding their record, fighting nobodies, fighting chumps, where I was fighting champions, you know, Joe Stevenson, you know, Robert Emerson's, you know, you know, Wildman Denny, you know, I chose to fight these guys because that was my little personal challenge to myself. Like, I can beat these guys. I wanted to give myself a shot, you know?
Yeah, like everybody was hungry to fight though, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. That's kind of a lost art in a lot of respects too, where people that come up fighting now they'll pick and choose if they want to fight and, you know.
Yeah.
You get little warm-up fights and, like, yeah, you demolish that dude, but it was, you know.
Yeah, I call those fighters paper fighters. You know, they look good on paper, but you know, when you see those, if you really see those fighters, they don't really last in the big show. You know, they don't last in the UFC. They get there, but then they lose and then they're out. They're cut.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you see that a lot with fighters now. Like one or two losses and they're done.
They're done, right? You know, so then they're back at the small shows again.
Yeah.
You know?
But do you think I mean, obviously coming up on the little shows. You guys got to hustle, right? Because you got to train. A lot of those guys got to work, and then you got to sell tickets.
We have to sell tickets,
right? I mean, that's a lot of hustle, man.
A lot of hustling, yeah. So, like, fortunately for me, I had a big draw, big fan base, so I had a lot of support, and also my sponsors bought out some of my tickets, and they gave them to their friends.
Okay,
you know, so and that was I was known for having a lot of sponsors on my shorts because that's we got paid more from our sponsors than an actual fight purse. So that's what I was doing most of the time, was just hustling for sponsors rather than hustling for ticket sales.
Right. Because
my sponsors would buy out my tickets.
Well, how do you do that though? I mean, there's probably a lot of people out there that want to know, like, what's, like, if you were mentoring a new fighter and the guy says, hey, how do I get sponsors?
Well, what you got to do is get yourself a little highlight reel, put yourself in a little, you know, montage of all your fights or knockouts or whatever you have. And, you know, submit that to, let's say, one of your potential sponsors, like Red Bull, for instance. Submit that with a proposal, and a proposal is like a resume. You have a resume that tells them who you are, what you're about, and what event you're going to fight in, and what do you want. They want to know what you want from them and what you can do for them. And for me, I was able to give them numbers. I had a large fan base, yeah. You know, so I had like one of the biggest fan bases in Southern California. Next to Nam Pham, he was fighting the local shows as well. And he had a giant draw through the Vietnamese community. And myself, I had a large following from the Latino community. So right. I had a huge support.
Yeah, I got to say, like, I always remember when you had fights coming up and you'd be like blasting this stuff out on, you know, social media and stuff like, and you'd sell your tickets out, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and luckily for me, I had a network of friends in other schools, other gyms that would put my posters up and I would leave tickets, you know, like New Breed, for instance. I would put posters up at New Breed. Johnny would let me put some posters up myself or even Charlie's posters. And that's how we would sell tickets. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, coming up on the local. Yeah, a lot of hustle, though. I think a lot of the stuff behind the scenes that people don't realize, it's, you know, stepping into the cage is probably, you know, the farthest thing from the mind when you got to sell those tickets and you got to train and you got to do all that other stuff.
Yeah, it's really hard to focus because, like, I'm training. While I'm training, I'm getting phone calls. Hey, Joe, I need some tickets. Can I meet up with you somewhere? And I'm like, all right, man, well, let me train. Let me get out of here. And then I'll drive out to where you're at and I'll meet up with you and
You're your own agent tickets. Almost, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, see, and that's another thing, you know, in the earlier days, none of us had managers, you know, so we had to learn it all on ourselves. Like myself right now, I think I would be a great manager. So once I retire from fighting, I think I can do that. I can get a fighter, get him sponsors, you know, get him a big fight, you know, because I have good relationships with a lot of promoters because I have good reports with a lot of people.
Well, that, and like you said, man, you've done all the hard work yourself, so you know from a personal level what it takes to do that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
It's not just,
I've been through those dead ends already, you know?
Yeah. And I guess you get a lot of people say yes, and you probably get, you know, double the amount of no's, and you just keep pushing forward.
Just keep going, right, you know? But I have to show numbers. You know, it's a numbers game out there. They want to see what you can do for them, you know?
So, yeah.
And that's what I do. I try to produce, you know, just noise for them, you know?
Yeah. So how'd you come up with the nickname?
JC Plenty.
JC Plenty. Is that what it is?
It's funny because it was an old hip hop thing. It was an old rap thing, you know, back in the day when I was like, you know.
No, we're gonna get into this hip hop thing. No. Don't worry, dude.
back in the day, I used to be we used to battle and freestyle, and that was like my name, you know, like Plenty, meaning plenty of skills. I used to ride a skateboard. I'm an artist, graphic designer. I fought, you know, like I had so many skills that one of my buddies said, you're JC Plenty, as in plenty of skills.
We'll get you some hip hop music for background noise while you tell me the story.
Baby, baby. Yeah.
We go on it, dude. I can see what else I got on here, dude. Oh, here. I'll get you a new one if you want. There you go.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Come on, you know this one, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hector's all, Jaime's all, what is that, dude?
I know that. No, I'm more old school, dude.
No, I don't got any old school.
You got some Duke O'Roll for him?
Late 70s.
You got some
late
Duke O'Roll, some Lowrider for him?
No. Lowrider. No, he's like rockabilly.
Oh, that's what's up.
Simon?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Making sure.
Hey, right. Shout out to my homeboy, Pacheco Jose. Saw your show last week. Good job, Joe.
What are we talking about over there, dude?
Yeah, hey, I'm plugging my buddy, man.
All right, my bad. Let's get back to this JCPenney story.
JCPenney or JCPlenty?
Come on. All right, so you're in this whole rap scene, and you got this nickname.
Right, yeah. So we used to go to open mic battles and just battle or you know, we'd be outside, you know, ciphering, just, you know, our friend just, you know, playing off words and just freestyling. You know, that was back in the day. I mean, the only time I freestyle now is, you know, when I'm tipsy, you know. You know, and I'm a social drinker, you know, I'm not a drunk, but you know, when I toss a few, you know, I'll throw some little licks.
Throw some rhymes out there?
Yeah.
Be rabbit style?
Be rabbit, right?
But I mean, all right, I just thought your nickname was Plenty of Skills, but that's how it comes, huh?
That's where it came from. It came from, you know, the hip hop era and you know, battling and freestyling, you know. And
I know we were talking before the show goes on, you were talking about you went to school where you wanted to be a broadcaster.
Yeah, man. That was one of my, you know, little things I wanted to do. I wanted to get into radio, get into broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to Mount SAC and I took the broadcasting classes out there. I wanted to produce a hip hop show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Underground hip hop.
I know we were talking about it, so I want to get to these top five MCs. And I know it's off topic because it's not MMA related, but like,
no, but it is, though, because that's what I listened to hype me up before my fight.
Okay.
You know? And it's funny because before my fight, I zone out and I start freestyling in my head about my opponent, you know, like what I'm going to do and just to get me
hyped. Arms heavy.
Like that.
Spaghetti on my mom's.
Yeah. T-shirt, right? Yeah.
All right, so give me these top five MCs you got. I want to know who they are.
Well, lyrically, Eminem is one of the dopest lyricists around.
Okay, I agree with 100%.
You know? I'm a big old school Fugees fan, you know. Like Lauryn Hill, she's a dope female MC, you know. Common, you know, Common's another one of my favorite MCs. I like Eli and Grouch.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I've never heard of them.
Living Legends. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, man.
I'll check them out.
Yeah, Freestyle Fellowship, Underground MCs.
Okay.
Merce. The list goes on. And say what's up. I'm going to say what's up to my boy Jism. He's an underground MC.
Okay.
So he's a dope cat. LA native.
Okay,
LA
cool.
Based known, huh?
I'm going to bring him by next time.
But yeah, man. I mean
I like, look, if I had top five MCs, I definitely think Eminem, lyrically, the guy.
Yeah.
I also like a cat named Joel Ortiz. You know Joel Ortiz?
Nah, if he's a new cat, then.
Dude, that dude can spit some sick freestyles. Joel Ortiz. Shout out to Joel Ortiz. Yawa, that's what he says. Razzkaz, you know Razzkaz?
Absolutely, dude. You know Razzkaz, yeah.
Lyrically, that dude's sick.
Razzkaz, Ahmad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ahmad, what does he sing? Back in the day?
He was the one that sung Back in the Day, but his underground content was just sick. His freestyles were just murderous. One of the dopest battles, though, just so you know, I witnessed a dope battle between Will, at the time it was Will I Am.
Uh-huh.
He was Will 1X. He's Will I Am now.
But oh, really? That's funny.
He's Will I Am, and he was in a crew called Ant Bank Clan, and he battled Razzkaz at the basement, and he just served Raz. Like,
really?
Yeah, because Razzkaz tried to cut him off when Will was performing, and then Raz just turned around. Will just turned around and just started just.
Where's he from? Is he from around here?
He's from Aliso Village. He's from Aliso Village in East Los, East LA. Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I know like...
He and Taboo. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Because I know the Fergie's from Hacienda Heights.
She's from Hacienda Heights. Oh, okay. She went to Wilson High School. Uh-huh.
Kind of makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
On the same little area. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Will played football, Pop Warner football with myself. He was younger than I, but he was from... He played for the East LA Bobcats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
And, yeah.
That's pretty funny. Small world, right?
Very small. Yeah, that's how we know each other through that time, you know. Taboo was a dancer, hip-hop, and I was all in the hip-hop, like B-boy, old school B-boy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I used to be in a dance crew, too.
What crew?
The OG crew.
The OG crew?
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding. Serious, dude.
Goof Troop.
Dude, I don't know, dude. An OG crew. Yeah, you know, back in the day where like I used to wear like my Kwame shirts. You know what those are, right?
Yeah, the polka dot
shirts with the one overall down, you know?
Oh, so yeah. You were doing the whole doing the dance routine.
The whole thing, dude.
Right.
Like three man crew stepping. Right. We used to do the
jumping over your leg.
Totem poles and stuff with three dudes.
Doing the running man.
Doing something. I was looking at us like we're crazy.
Nah, dude. Just bringing back my own memories, man.
All right, top five rockabilly groups. Go.
Oh, man. No, still, you guys got me on hip hop. I swear back in the day when I was young. You guys ever heard of the old Radiotron up in LA?
Yeah, man. Radiotron.
Yeah, right. I used to go up there and listen to Ice-T. I used to go to house parties. Frost was playing. I mean, this is back when they were like nobodies, dude.
Oh, speaking of Radiotron, the producer of Radiotron, the guys who put that together is Little Caesar. He's an old school B-boy, Little Caesar. Mm-hmm. He's from L.A., Air Force crew. We got in contact with each other, you know, through you know, just a network of friends that we know I'm the head instructor of the UFC gym here in Rosemead, and we actually started a B-boy class at the UFC gym.
Nice.
Yeah, so they
got to bring a cardboard, right?
Well, they have the aerobic floor.
Oh, come on, dude. Yeah. Bring the cardboard and the 40D energizer for the radio.
dude, what you do is you get the linoleum tile. And you get the spray silicone.
Yeah.
And just spin forever.
That's it, man.
Come on, that's cheating, dude.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, bro. Yeah.
I'm too poor. I can't afford the linoleum.
Okay. And I had friends that worked in warehouses, man. They hooked me up.
We just kept it OG in the streets right there.
Okay.
Dude, somewhere at the house. Battle at Venice Beach.
Yeah, at Venice Beach. I do remember those battles, though. Eh, house parties back in the day were cool, too, you know?
Yeah.
Then they got a little out of hand. But baggy pants went crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool information on the hip-hop side. So what are you listening to? Like, what's in your phone now, or your MP3 player, or whatever it is you work out with?
Well, I don't really work out to any of the music because, as you know, I work at the UFC gym, so they're blasting out their music. It's so loud, I wouldn't be able to really.
Yeah, no, but just even I know you work there. We'll get into that workout, but I just like if you go running or something. Like, what are you listening to?
Just a lot of the underground hip hop. You know, you know, like I said, you know, I like underground '90s, hip hop. Yeah. Freestyle Fellowship was one of my favorite groups.
Still got techniques in your garage or what?
Yeah. Some turntables.
1200s, right?
1200s, man.
Yeah, man. As a matter of fact, I remember I bought myself a little drum machine and I was just punching the keys, trying to make some beats, you know?
Oh, you were? Oh, okay. Yeah. It was back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I used to carry. We used to have to carry around all those milk crates with direct vinyl in them, right?
Yeah.
Now they got the little...
Bring your laptop and there we go. There's your DJ.
Yeah, this thing right here, I got turntables in this iPad. It's kind of cool.
Okay, what do you got? Final Scratch or something?
Yeah, you know what, dude? I don't know, man. I know this thing's on live, so. Oh, it's called DJ.
Oh, DJ, okay.
Yeah, but, you know.
Free download, right?
No, I think I pay for this, dude.
Oh, all right.
Come on, man. Put me on blast. But, you know, you can, I got all kinds of stuff I can put on here, but. I don't know if it'll play it on here. Not a great scratcher, but I'll scratch it for you. Live, dude. Come on.
Hey, it's good, man.
Yeah. So, hey, how'd you get into... we're going to go back to this MMA stuff, man, because... I know they got great music blasting over at the UFC gym all day. Getting your Katy Perry on and stuff, probably. Fireworks.
Yeah, man, some of those songs and their playlists is just sometimes it gets annoying.
How'd you get a gig there? How'd you get started
there? It was weird because I was actually contacted by a friend of mine who was friends with someone that I guess heard about my name. So they asked my friend to tell me to give them a call because they were expecting my call. Uh-huh. They told them that I was, you know, working as the jiu-jitsu instructor at Big John McCarthy's at the time. I was the instructor in Valencia for Big John McCarthy for 2 years.
Yeah, so you're driving all the way out there from, did you live out there?
I was staying out there at the time.
Oh, you were, okay. Yeah,
and then when I left Valencia, I had to make that commute for a while, and then it was just being just crazy.
That's gotta be brutal, man.
Yeah, and it was around the time the recession was you know, in effect, like freshly new in effect. So I was like, you know, making that drive and, you know, gas after gas, just miles after miles of my car. It was killing me. So I had to make that switch, you know, from Big John's to Rosemead. So I ended up going to UFC gym.
Okay. Yeah. How do you like it there?
It's cool. I like it. Yeah. It's fun. You know, it's a busy gym. You know, I teach, I have all my classes. You know, I'm the head MMA instructor there. So I teach everything there.
So you teach a full schedule? Give me an example. Like, what is a class, 6 to 7 or 6 to 7:30? How do the classes run there?
Well, my classes vary because, you know, I teach every day so I'm like the head instructor there, and I have to.
Yeah, you got a bunch of different other things you got to do. Okay,
right. But you know, I teach everything under the umbrella, from MMA classes to jiu-jitsu, gi and no gi, and even boxing and Muay Thai.
Right, so you got a full schedule then.
Full schedule. Yeah, and I'm always at work. That's where I'm at all the time.
How big is that place?
It's huge. It's the size of a regular Toys R Us building.
That's what it was, right?
And I was just about to say, it used to be a Toys R Us building.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's an awesome gym, you know, and that was UFC gym number 2. So
it was. Where's the first one at?
The first one was up north in Concord, in California. And now they're about like, they're at UFC 5 now, I think, or 6.
Oh, okay. So
Torrance is their latest one.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that.
And then UFC Hawaii, BJ Penn Signature Gym.
Yeah. Okay. So can people that sign up there, is there they're full contact or rolling or sparring? What's the deal there?
Before there wasn't.
Because that's what I used to hear in the past.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to
because of the city.
Right, the city.
Yeah, the city didn't allow it because they didn't want. See, they were a little bit ignorant with the whole mixed martial arts fad, and they thought that the UFC gym would produce fighting thugs you know, all these guys causing trouble. But since we have some of the council people that work in the city council there, they're some of the, you know, they're members of the gym.
Yeah.
They see what's going on firsthand, so they see that it's a family gym. So just about 2 months ago, I guess, they just passed a bill or whatever you call it, that they would allow full contact.
Right.
And 24 hours.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour gym.
I guess being the number 2 UFC gym, there's probably a little ignorance on their part, I would assume, right? Thinking that it was going to be like this barbaric type of gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you said there's full amenities in their gym. There's like a gym.
Yeah. There's the workout gym.
Okay.
You know, big tires, flip, ropes, sauna if you want to cut some weight. You know, awesome showers, private showers. You know, some gyms, they have open showers. Or, you know, these showers are private. What else?
I'm just not going to go there now if they're not open.
There's no point.
The mats are huge. A lot of mat space. And there's always if you're on the floor in a treadmill, there's always a treadmill available for you. There's, you know, it's never,
if there's not, there's gonna be a fight for it.
Yeah, it's almost like you know.
Yeah.
You know, no. I mean, when you walk into that gym, you know, there's always something there for you to use, you know?
Yeah. So it's pretty big.
It's a big gym. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've never been in there. I know I've seen it, but I think I've been to the
Come by, you know, come by and ask for me, you know, give you a little tour, you know.
Yeah, all right.
No, I always like it when they flip for equipment, heads or tails. Pick the little guy, toss him in the air. If he lands on his head, you win.
Is that what it was?
Yep. So that's how he did in the Army.
I thought you guys would do paper rock MRE.
No, let's not talk MREs, man.
They're delicious, dude. We used to take the little heating tubes from the MREs and drop them in 2-liter bottles and shake them and throw them.
No, you forgot. You got to cap it first.
Whatever.
It won't explode if you don't cap it.
Dude, you're getting all technical on me. You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, the thing is, no. I got to clue you
explain,
in.
Explain it to plenty of skills over here.
Oh, right on. See, the MRE, it has a...
you know what MRE is, right?
It's
a meal ready to eat.
Imagine a meal in a plastic bag. Okay, it's all pre-made. It's in foil packs. Okay, they used to have them cold.
And put some music onto this, right?
Right, so then they... put on Flight of the Valkyrie.
Okay, got it for you right here.
Cool. All right, so then, so they put heaters in there. Yeah, they're water activated. So what you do is you get a 2 liter water bottle, break up the heater, toss it in there, put a little water in it, then cap it up. Then the water activates the heater, which makes the gas expand. And because it's closed, after a while, it'll explode.
Right.
So it makes a pretty good pop. It
does make a good pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds better with music though, right?
Yeah.
And next, I'll explain how to make napalm.
Oh, wow.
Joking. Get away from that, dude.
Joking.
I don't know nothing about that in case they come knocking on my door.
You're kidding. All the stuff's at your house. I've seen it. You're not a farmer. How come you got all that fertilizer in your backyard?
Dude, it's for you, dude.
Oh, right on.
You asked me to order it for you. Well, that's why you bought that big U-Haul truck, right?
Yep. No, it's because I'm Mexican, dude. I got to transport my family in that thing.
Oh, shoot.
God, this guy.
You kidding?
I thought maybe because I thought you wanted to fertilize because you were going to do a lot of lawns because you're Mexican.
Oh, no, no.
All right.
No, it's a transport, dude. I can fit like 80 cousins in there.
And that's just half of the family, right?
That's just half.
Those are just the guys.
Those are just the people you know. Yeah, all right, cool.
No. All right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my CS right? family back in Arizona. Good, man. There's 96 of us. 96
Joe's
kids
looking
now.
At us like we're crazy. Like, what are these guys talking about, man? Talking about UFC gym, MREs. What else we want to cover today? How many sponsors you got, Joe?
I have quite a few, man. Yeah. I have a lot of supporters out there. Yeah, Pilani Watches. You know, they hooked me up with some nice watches.
Yeah. That's not one you're wearing now, huh?
No, I'm not wearing the Pilani one right now. I should be wearing it, though.
Oh, dude, come on, dude. We're on radio. We don't even have a camera. You should have said yeah.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm just being honest, you know. Yeah, I love my Pilani watches, though, man. Yeah. They take care of me very well. I have, you know, my Gi sponsors, my support group is pretty big, you know. Big ups to Show Your Roll, those homies, you know, yeah. Bear, Show Your Roll, yeah. and even Hakai Kimonos hooked me up. They're pretty good, you know. Even X Guard, they take care of me,
yeah,
pretty well.
All these local guys too, which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you like training gi or no gi?
I do both. Yeah. I think the gi, you know, prepares you for the no gi.
A lot better, right? Yeah. I agree too. Yeah. I think your grip, you're more cognizant of where you got a grip. When you do gi and then you go transition to no gi.
Yeah, but what the gi teaches you is timing and leverage, a little bit patience too, because the no gi game is super fast and a lot of space.
Yeah.
You know, and the gi is staying tight.
Yeah.
You know, being really patient and you know, not too crazy, you know?
Yeah, I believe the gi game's a little more technical too. There's a little more more thought involved.
It's more methodical, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, like I always go back to my gi game when I feel like I'm losing my edge a little bit. You know, like the gi game disciplines my no gi game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You got any fights coming up? You think?
No, I don't have any fights lined up yet. You know, every fight I usually, you know, break or fracture my left hand, and my last fight I fought. Back in September, I fought in a local show at mm-hmm. Respect in the Cage for their belt. I fought their champion, and in the second round, I broke my hand, and we fought like a five-round fight. So yeah. I ended up fighting that rest of the fight with a broken hand.
Probably hard to throw a punch with a broken hand, man.
Yeah, man. But you have adrenaline going. Yeah. You don't really feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel it once your body settles. You know.
Yeah.
But my hand was just so fat; it just looked like a catcher's mitt. You know.
Yeah. You ever give yourself a certain amount of weeks before a fight? Let's say if you were going to pick up a fight, do you always request 8 weeks, 12 weeks? What do you do?
Well, now my camp is usually about 2.5 months or so.
Okay.
You know, before in the old days, you know, I was like, I would take a fight on a week's notice, you know?
Yeah, but you're still ready now, right?
Well, I'm always training. Yeah. 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 But now that I have injuries.
And, yeah, it's
and
a little
now
different.
I'm getting
right?
older, so now it takes longer for my body to heal, you know, but. The shortest preparation for a fight was on a week's notice. I fought Roger Huerta, and that was pretty bad when I got cut across the bridge of my nose. He sliced me with his elbow, and it just Big John McCarthy was the referee, and he stopped the match because it was just a nasty gash.
It was, huh?
It was bad, but it was a good fight though, man.
Yeah, crazy Roger Huerta. So much. It looked like he had so much potential, and just you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's always like that, though, right? I mean. You're gonna see what they want you to see when you're on TV,
Right? Yeah.
He seemed like a cool cat, though. You know him personally?
I've only met him from the fight, and we spoke a little bit after the fight, you know, and he was a cool cat, you know, half Mexican, half Salvadoran, you know, so he spoke Spanish, so it was cool. And it was interesting with that fight, though, you know, the UFC, they were looking for a Latino poster boy, you know.
Interesting.
And that fight was the deciding factor of who was pretty much going to be that guy. Because when I spoke with Joe Silva, the UFC, Joe Silva had hit me up and asked me, "Hey, Joe, do you speak Spanish?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I speak Spanish." "All right, man.
You speak it fluently?"
I can speak it. Not fluently, but I can speak it.
Because they got Cain Velasquez up there who's, to me, his Spanish doesn't sound that great.
Yeah, well, you know, my Spanish is, it's good, but it's not great. You know, some words I'll get stuck and I'll end up throwing in the English word. You know, Spanglish.
That's all right. You know? That's how you roll when you speak
Spanish.
Más o menos.
Más o menos.
That's how we do it. Huh?
Spanglish, eh?
Spanish, eh?
Yep.
Yeah.
¿Dónde vas? I'm going to the store.
That's it.
Me voy a la store.
Me voy a la store.
Me voy a la store.
Mm-hmm. Store.
And you got to put an E in front of it.
Right? Mm-hmm. Store.
Store. Agárrame un Sprite. En el market. Right? Or you put an O at the end of everything, it makes it Spanish.
Right.
Right?
No.
No, sí, it's got an O.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Sí, chale.
Chale.
Nel.
Simones, eh.
Oh, we're back to that now?
No, dude, we're not going back to that. We know you're a gangster. Look at all them tattoos on you.
Hey, man, from the one ways, bro.
Oh, Norwalk. That's what's up.
He knows, dude. World famous, baby.
I'm from East Los, man. So I know what's up.
Was overseas and people knew where the one ways.
Wow. That's where Sig Dog's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hector Ramirez.
Yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. I mean, you know, I run into him every now and then at local shows.
Yeah, I heard he was like the Grand Marshal at one of the parades out there. It was in Norwalk or Santa Fe Springs or something they had him.
Yeah, Hector was one of, I was his first jiu-jitsu instructor.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, you know, we got him into the whole game from the wrestling game.
Yeah, I seen him at the gym a couple of times.
Yeah.
This was a few years
ago.
Yeah. So I remember him coming by a couple of times. So.
He's a humble cat, super cool cat, you know, and I love the guy. Solid cat.
Yeah, what's he up to now, though?
I don't know. I know he's still trying to, you know, work his way up back into the UFC and, you know, and still fighting and trying to keep his... Stay involved with mixed martial arts, you know?
Yeah. So. It's probably hard because you probably see these people on TV and then you know, they post their salaries and you're just like, man, dude, I busted my ass and here's my pay and here's my pay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
man.
Know? Yeah. Do you ever feel bad about that, though? Does that make you like...
Yeah, it kind of, you know...
Because I always feel like there's a few guys and obviously when you get older, you look back and you're like... If you miss your prime, and especially in fighting, right? Because you see the guys coming up now, they're like 17, 18... 19, right? You're just like, man, that's the prime, right?
You see, these young cats, you know, they're coming in like already kind of with the full package ready, you know, with they... Back then when I was training before, it was called mixed martial arts. It was just called cross training.
Right.
We were cross training, you know, but that was the template. We were setting the stage for these new up and comers, you know. Now they already know what to train. Cause back then I was fighting style versus style, you know.
Oh, okay.
Jiu-jitsu versus the kickboxer.
Yeah. You know?
So, but then we had to cross train to defend against it.
Yeah. But so knowing all that now, if you had a fight coming up, do you train differently?
I still train. I train my striking, my grappling, you know, takedown defense, everything.
Yeah. No, yeah. I just wondering if you like...
I spar a lot. It's very important to spar, so yeah.
Yeah, how about like, do you any cross training or any, you know, training with a mask or any stuff like that? I mean, because you see those dudes walking around. I always wonder if that really works. They call it the elevation
mask. Mask, you know what?
Yeah. What do you think about that, Hector?
I'm old school, so I don't...
I keep calling you Hector, dude.
Yeah, we all look the same, bro.
Yeah, look the same. I'm gonna call you Jose from now on.
Simon.
Yeah, I'm old school, so you know, I just stick to the hardcore ground and pound workout.
A little snorkel with a plug on your nose, like Vanderlei.
Yeah, I don't do any of that stuff. You know, I don't. Yeah.
I just scientifically, I just wonder how that works because you can't simulate elevation with a mask.
But I think this is restrict the breathing
a little
bit.
See, the thing is,
yeah.
Well, for me, it's experience, you know? I think for me, it's experience. You know when and how to rest in a fight, not to overexert your body. Yeah. I know there's certain positions where you end up in where I can say, I'm going to rest here. Then I can go turn it up.
Right.
You know, it's experience, man.
Yeah, but that's always, you know, I always go back to that. I think as I progress through belts and jiu-jitsu, is like one of the big things you learn too, right? Like, you learn to take a breath and gather right. your energy and be like, okay, I'm going to explode right now, right?
Right, yeah.
As opposed to like just pressure, which I used to do all the time. I would just like pressure, and I'd just be burned out in 4 or 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah, you know when to go, when to turn that on, and you know
what. So I guess same concept. I know fighting's a little differently because you've got to worry about multiple angles of attack and everything else, but...
Yeah, but see, the thing is, once again, it's experience that will teach you those angles. You already know what's where you're going to be, you know, in danger and where you're not. It's safety first with me. In all my fights, I've never really gotten like a serious injury. I've never been knocked out. You know, the only injury was the cuts, small little cuts, but it's going to happen, you know.
They're not too bad for, you know, compared to what you see out there, right?
Right. I mean, you know, so, you know, I'm known to, you know, take care of myself. If I'm on my back, I'm pretty good on my guard. Tie them up.
Yeah.
You
know. That's important too. I think a lot of people just go out there and get their face smashed. And, you know, I would say the longevity of a fighter is only so limited because in order to train for a fight, you got to be in a fight and your body's only going to take so much punishment.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, what's your take on having like 7, 8 year old kids fighting? Because you see a lot of gyms offering like, dude, I see like, you know, full contact Muay Thai.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I mean, you. I think it's...
There's leagues now for kids. Yeah. You know, so... But the kids, they have headgear now. Some kids, they're fighting with headgear. I went to one show, though, that there wasn't any headgear. It was like a little full-on MMA show, you know, for kids. But the referee is there on, like... He's there on cue. When the arm bar's there, boom, the referee stops it. Or when the choke is in, the referee stops it before it even gets... to that danger point, you know?
Yeah, it just seems a little rough for me.
Yeah,
though,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like when I see those little kids playing Pop Warner football too, right?
See, that's exactly what I was about to say. It's just like that. If MMA is going to be a sport, then it has to be accepted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the way across the board, you know? Because everyone's hopes and dreams is one day MMA becomes an Olympic sport or even jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know?
I know they're working. I think they're really working hard on jiu-jitsu, especially since they're going to be in Brazil. But I think, you know, I hear the IBJJF is trying to do a lot to have some clean rules to go all the way across with ease and time.
The thing about that, though, is that jiu-jitsu is too slow. You know, it's a slow-paced game for the Olympics, especially if it was on time television, you know.
Yeah.
I see the no-gi game... getting into the Olympics before the...
Oh, you do? Okay.
It's only because it's already global. Like, I mean, like the FILA and you have Abu Dhabi, you know, and then, you know, the world's over here, you know?
Yeah, so. Unless you do it like, you know, they have those tournaments that are submission only and they're timed. And if no one wins, just both like, guys are disqualified like they just did the last Gracie tournament. Rose, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, Rose Gracie, man. She hit me up on online and asked me what my opinion was on that. And I said, man, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
And this was in their early development of that.
Yeah.
That was great, you know. Go for the submission, go for the finish, cuz what they were trying to do is they're trying to bring back the essence of jiu-jitsu. What's it really about? It's about the art, not about stalling. Stall jiu-jitsu, take down and just stall. Okay, I won on a takedown, you know?
Yeah.
Or I won on an advantage. Everybody, I'm the world champion on an advantage, you know?
No, that's awesome.
I always tell people like if you win on points, that's wrestling. You're really wrestling, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of like the concept, although the time limits. It was like what 15-minute time limits or something. But it was kind of cool. It was like if two guys or two gals go in there and none of them win, they both get disqualified. So.
No, I like that, man. Because you know, I have a good friend of mine. One of my sergeants, he's an old Taekwondo guy. And he was practicing before it became really sportified for the Olympics. And his style of Taekwondo looks almost exactly like Muay Thai. And he goes, hey, when they made it a sport, they took away the essence of the art. And I think it's like that with jiu-jitsu. I think we need to go back to what it is. It's about submitting the opponent, not you know, just holding them down and getting points. So I think it's a great concept.
Yeah, and that was always me, like, you know, training, I've always looked for the finish, go for the finish, finish. I don't like sitting there looking at the clock and just holding position. You know, I want to finish.
I felt my game change a lot when I started just going for submissions, because even when you don't have it, it opens up something else, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm always talking about like, just, you know, submit everyone and go out there and just keep trying, because as soon as you go for one submission and they counter, they open up to something else.
Yeah.
You may not get it, right? I mean, there's time, you can try 4 or 5, you don't get them, but at least you're trying.
Right. Yes, it's true. But the one thing I can say about the stalling though, stalling did open up a lot of new things for jiu-jitsu, as far as you have these stallers that stall, and you have the bottom guy who he has to open up his guard, look for something. Now here comes the X guard or the 50-50 guard, you know. 50-50 position is also a stall position anyway, though. You know what I'm saying?
Then, you know, whoever does it won't tell you that, though, because they can get submissions off there, I guess. But
yeah, you know, but yeah, so I mean,
I guess there's got to be a fine.
Beautiful. I like to see a chess match going, a nice, beautiful, like, you know, like someone said, I can't remember who, I don't want to quote the wrong, or I don't want to say the wrong person, but he said that watching jiu-jitsu is like reading poetry. It's poetry in motion, you know, and it is. If you understand it, you can appreciate it. But if you don't understand it, you're going to be like, man, what's this guy doing, man? You know, and that was the problem with MMA in the beginning. People didn't understand grappling. But now that my mother, she knows what an armbar is, and she knows what a triangle is because of how many times it's on the air. And, you know, we're educating the masses. And I can say I'm one of the pioneers. I'm glad to be one of the pioneers to be an educator in that sense.
Yeah. And then you also, I know you've also on your Facebook, you got like videos of moves you posted. I think you had like this ghost choke, right?
Yeah, ghost choke. Yeah.
I mean, it works good. I mean, right? You wouldn't think so. And it just, I mean, it's pretty quick.
Yeah,
quick and dirty.
It's a quick choke. You know, you guys can go to my Facebook, you know, just hit up Joe Camacho and,
you got a fan page or just a Facebook page?
Well, it's just a Facebook page. I can't be juggling two pages. So just one page. Go to my Facebook. It's, you know, I'm Joe Camacho Fighter at Facebook, and it's the first video up. It's the new choke that I developed. It's a cross choke, but using the side of your body as the other side of the
ribs.
Ribs, yeah. It's almost like a triangle, I'm reaching over his back and I'm grabbing the belt and I'm going in for a choke. It's a sneaky choke.
Yeah, the setup is really important on that, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, you should watch the video and make sure they pay attention to the setup because I think that's probably very important. But
yeah, I put it up on YouTube and Facebook, and I wanted to put up on MMA.tv and some of the forums just to get some feedback. Because a lot of the video that I put up, I don't just put up just like silly video. I put up video, I mean, especially in those websites, but I put up videos to get feedback from them. I want to hear, like Joe Rogan, I did a J choke. I made up a choke called the J choke, and it's a inverted head and arm choke from the back.
Okay.
And Joe Rogan responded, Joe, that's an awesome choke. And
was he high?
Probably. But yeah, so, you know, I like to be an innovator as well, you know?
Yeah, it's good though. I mean, the choke works good. The setup is important. You know what? I was like, when we had talked about it, and I was thinking about the setup. It's kind of cool because it's almost like you go for a cross choke. And when the guy counters and you reach back there, I mean, he's pretty much done, right?
It's a fast choke.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, it's good. You should check it out. Jose, Jaime, Javier, whatever I'm calling you today.
Pepe. I'll check it out.
We need a cooler name for you.
Oh.
Okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, Joe. That's how he is.
I like that shirt, man. I'm on the carne asada diet. Sounds like me, man. Sounds like my diet.
Is that what that shirt says?
Yeah, no.
Oh, all right. I'm on the carne asada diet.
Yeah, it's Mexican Atkins.
I don't know, dude. You were making brisket yesterday, you said.
Yes.
Eating burritos de manteca.
Oh, man, those are good.
What's in them?
King taco.
I used to make tortillas, butter, and sugar back in the day.
Oh, man, that's a poor man's. Yeah, I went through that too. Shoot, that's the
dude,
poor man's
food. Dude, I used to eat mayonnaise sandwiches, dude.
Oh, dude, the worst we got was okay. You get a tortilla de maíz, a little lemon juice and salt. Roll that up, man.
No, how about a peanut butter and jelly burrito?
Oh, those are delicious, dude. Those are actually pretty good. You throw a piece of celery in there for some crunch, dude. You're golden.
I used to get a a bolillo or a virote. At the time, it was, you know, virote, and I would take all of the stuffing out of it, like all the bread, and you know, put a lot of sugar in it. I would make my own pan dulce.
Yeah. Right, dude. Come on, dude. They're like $5 for $1 back then.
Right. Yeah, they still are.
Some of them, no, dude. They're like 60 cents a piece now, dude. Sugar's
you don't go to the right places, man.
Hey, dude, I know how much sugar costs, and I'm not going to a place that's $5 for $1. Get what you pay for in food. Sugar's expensive. Sugar and corn, expensive.
Yeah, man. You know,
I know nothing about this.
Takes five pounds of corn to make 1 pound of beef.
See?
No. You know that?
Never knew that, man.
Yeah, 5 pounds of corn to make 1 pound of beef.
It takes an hour of work for me to buy 4 pounds of carne asada.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Dude, no way. You're on the carne asada diet. Dude. You should be blowing through that.
Yep.
All right. All right, man. Looks like we got like 3 minutes left, dude. So you want to plug out your, I guess on Facebook, they find you on Facebook, right? Facebook.com/, what is it?
Joe Camacho Fighter.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, friend request me and, you know, or write me, hit me up if you have any questions. I've started to video blog on my page about, like, you know, jiu-jitsu or what I'm doing, what I'm up to. If you have any particular questions about a technique, you could write me and then I'll try to make a video about it.
And, oh, okay, and cool, yeah.
Share.
Right on the Facebook.
Yeah, right on my page. Yeah,
and I know you got a YouTube page too, or
yeah,
no?
I have a YouTube page, yeah. Joe Camacho.
Oh, it is, okay.
Joe Camacho, yeah. You know, my Facebook's pretty simple, it's pretty easy, you know. I don't have no crazy content on it, so a lot of parents...
You're not selling, like, sold out Nikes and stuff like that from all your friends? Get those spammers, dude, like... 2 pairs of Nikes, $99.
From Korea.
No, it's just like a spam, dude. Come on.
Yeah. For a while, I was getting that. I was getting spammed, and they made a fake profile using my images to make.
Really?
Yeah. So people would click on it, and when they would click on it, thinking it was me, it opened up their.
That's pretty funny.
Their product or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So if I guess somebody wants to get a hold of you for some, somebody looking for a manager sometimes.
In the future, yeah. You know, I do a lot of private lessons. So.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Privates. I've been doing privates forever, for years. You know, hit me up for a seminar if you want to do some seminar. I could do an awesome seminar, gi seminar, no gi seminar.
Oh, okay.
You know, I could do a 4-hour seminar, two-hour, first 2 hours gi, second.
You do those a lot or no?
I'm working on one right now. No, I don't. Okay. I do a lot of privates though. I'm working on one for Mexico. So they actually want me to fly out there to go do a seminar out there.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I know jiu-jitsu is growing out there a lot.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah. It's huge. Yeah, and they watch the UFC for free out there.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, no pay-per-view. It's free air.
The Parabolica or what?
Yeah. El Combate Mortal.
Yeah. Channel 34.
Yeah? Is that what they call it?
Yep. Combate Mortal.
No way, dude. Yeah. Mortal Kombat, like a video game, dude.
Come on, man. TV is different down there.
Well, I know, dude, because like somebody gets murdered, they're like, tiroteo. You know, show you the dude all laid out all over the floor.
Finish him.
That's bad. Alarma TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Yeah, all right. That's kind of cool. So they can get you, I guess everybody just run you through the Facebook. And
yeah, I mean, my Facebook's open. Anybody just hit me up, check out my page, you know.
Check out the videos and all.
Yeah, there's no crazy content on there. It's for kids too, you know. Parents always monitor kids all the time, so there's no crazy stuff, you know.
Cool, man. Well, I'd like to say, thank you for coming down, dude. I know you took a little drive out here and appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. Thank you for the airtime.
Yeah. You got anything? Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Just keep going, dude. They blew us up, man. They blew us up early over there.
Hey, all my friends out in Norwalk, I'll check you out when I get home.
I'm going to get the... That was you getting censored out, dude. All right. Are you ready to get out of here sometime soon? All right, man. That time radio, skidrowstudios.com. Thanks for checking in. All right, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. See you guys.
All right, thanks, man.
Have a good night, everyone.